ولما جاءت رسلنا إبراهيم بالبشرى قالوا إنا مهلكو أهل هذه القرية إن أهلها كانوا ظالمين.
When our emissaries brought the good news to Abraham, peace be upon him, and said to him, "We are surely going to destroy the inhabitants of this city. Its inhabitants are immersed in wrongdoing." When our emissaries brought the good news to Abraham, peace be upon him.
In Surahs Hud and Al-Hijr, it is stated that the angels deputed to destroy the Prophet Lot's people first went to the Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him. They gave him the good news of the birth of his son, Isaac, and of his grandson, Jacob, peace be upon them. The angels also informed him that they were on their way to destroy the Prophet Lot's people.
And said to him, "We are surely going to destroy the inhabitants of this city."
This city here alludes to the territory in which Lot's people lived. The Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, at that time lived in the city of Hebron in Palestine, presently known as Al-Khalil. A few miles to the southeast of the city lies that part of the Dead Sea which was once inhabited by Lot's people and which is now submerged by the sea. This is a low-lying area and is easily visible from the hilltops of Hebron. It is for this reason that the angels pointed in the direction of the city, saying to the Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, "We are surely going to destroy the inhabitants of this city."
قالوا نحن أعلم بمن فيها لننجينه وأهله إلا امرأته كانت من الغابرين.
Abraham, peace be upon him, said, "But Lot is there." They replied, "We are well aware of those who are there. We shall save him and all his household except his wife. His wife is among those who will stay behind." Abraham, peace be upon him, said, "But Lot is there."
The opening part of this story is narrated in Surah Hud. The Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, was disconcerted when he observed that angels had appeared in human form, for this usually indicates that they are on some ominous mission. He was relieved, however, when they gave him the good news of the birth of his son. When he also came to know that they were on their way to destroy the Prophet Lot's people, he pleaded fervently that mercy be shown them. In the words of the Quran, he began to dispute with us concerning the people of Lot. Surely, Abraham was forbearing, tender-hearted, and oft-turning to Allah. Abraham's plea, however, was not accepted. Thereupon, our angel said to him, "O Abraham, peace be upon him, desist from this. For indeed your Lord's command has come, and a chastisement which cannot be averted is about to befall them." Hud 11:74-76. It was then that the Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, realized that Lot's people were doomed to suffer divine scourge. He was also inevitably concerned about the Prophet Lot, peace be upon him, as mentioned in the verse, "But Lot is there." The safety of the latter and his family worried Abraham, peace be upon him, for if the scourge were to strike Lot's people while he was in their midst, how could Lot and his family remain safe?
They replied, "We are well aware of those who are there. We shall save him and all his household except his wife. His wife is among those who will stay behind."
We learn from Al-Tahrim 66:10 that the Prophet Lot's wife was not sincere towards her husband. It was therefore decided that notwithstanding her being the wife of a prophet, she too should be afflicted with God's scourge. It is likely that when the Prophet Lot, peace be upon him, settled in Jordan after his migration, he might have married a woman from among the local populace. However, even after spending many years in a prophet's company, she did not sincerely embrace faith, and her allegiance to her unbelieving people endured. God, of course, does not accord any weight to ties of kinship in judging people. Rather, he judges everyone on the basis of faith and conduct. Therefore, her marital tie with one of his prophets could not save her from punishment. Her fate was tied with that of her peoples with whom she had religious and moral bonds, rather than with her husband.
وَلَمَّا أَنْجَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا لُوطًا سِيءَ بِهِمْ وَضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرْعًا وَقَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّا مُنَجُّوكَ وَأَهْلَكَ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَكَ كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ
When our emissaries came to Lot, he was distressed and embarrassed on their account. They said, Do not fear, nor be distressed. We shall save you and all your household, except your wife, who is among those that will stay behind. When our emissaries came to Lot, he was distressed and embarrassed on their account.
The reason for the prophet Lot's anxiety, peace be upon him, and discomfort was that the angels had come to him in the form of handsome young men. The fact that they were angels was not initially known to Lot, peace be upon him. Now Lot, peace be upon him, was well aware of his people's moral corruption. The angels' visit in the form of handsome young men, therefore, presented him with a difficult problem, namely, the protection of his guests from the immoral onslaughts of his community. He could not turn his guests away, for that would be an act inconsistent with hospitality. Furthermore, if he did not offer them this hospitality, they would be obliged to spend the night in the town, which would amount to leaving his visitors to the tender mercy of hungry wolves. The Quranic passage here does not narrate any further details of the story, but an extensive account of it appears in Surahs Hud, Al-Hijr, and Al-Qamar. See Hud 11:76-83, Al-Hijr 15:60-77, and Al-Qamar 54:33-39. According to these, on learning of these handsome men's visit, many people barged into the Prophet Lot's house, demanding that the guests be handed over to them so that they might satisfy their unbridled lust.
They said, Do not fear, nor be distressed.
The visitors assured the Prophet Lot, peace be upon him, Do not fear, nor be distressed. In other words, Lot's people would not be able to cause them the slightest harm. At this moment, they revealed their identity, telling Lot, peace be upon him, that they were angels who had been sent down to inflict God's scourge upon his people. It is stated in Surah Hud that on observing his people rushing to his house and realizing that he could not save his guests, Lot, peace be upon him, exclaimed, Would that I had the strength to set you straight, or could seek refuge in some powerful support. Thereupon the angel said, O Lot, we indeed are messengers of your Lord, and your people will in no way be able to hurt you. Hud
11:80-81.
We shall bring down upon the people of this city a scourge from the heaven because of their evil doing.
وَلَقَدْ تَرَكْنَا مِنْهَا آيَةً بَيِّنَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ
And we have left a vestige of it in that city as a clear sign for a people who use their reason. And we have left a vestige of it in that city as a clear sign.
A clear sign here refers to the Dead Sea, which owing to its association with Lot, peace be upon him, is also called the Sea of Lot. Time and again, the Quran impressed on the Meccan unbelievers that a sign of the chastisement that had visited those wicked people could still be seen. This was observable both in the morning and night along the highway in the course of people's commercial journeys to Syria. The relevant Quranic verses are as follows. The place where the rain of stones occurred lies along a known route. Al-Hijr 15:76. And you pass by their desolate habitations in the morning and at night. Al-Safat 37:137-138. It is now almost universally recognized that what is presently the southern part of the Dead Sea became so transformed as a result of a terrible earthquake, which caused the landmass to cave in. It was in this part of the capital of the Prophet Lot's people, Sodom was located. One can still find ruins of some submerged towns in the sea. Aided with the latest diving and archaeological devices, expeditions are presently in progress to study these ruins. The results of these studies, however, are still to be obtained.
For a people who use their reason.
On the punishment laid down for sodomy in the Sharia, see towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 3, Al-Araf 7, Note 68, Paragraph 52-53.
وإلى مدين أخاهم شعيبا فقال يا قوم اعبدوا الله وارجوا اليوم الآخر ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين.
And we sent to Midian their brother Shu'aib, peace be upon him. He said, My people, serve Allah and look forward to the last day, and do not go about the earth committing mischief. And we sent to Midian their brother Shu'aib, peace be upon him.
For further details, see Al-Araf 7, 85-93, Hud 11, 84-96, and Al-Shu'ara 26, 177-191.
He said, My people, serve Allah and look forward to the last day.
This is open to the following interpretations. A. They should be assured that the afterlife will inevitably come to pass. They should not therefore consider the life of this world to be an end in itself. They should be certain that the present life will be followed by the hereafter, wherein they will be held to account and receive reward or punishment. B. They are urged to do good deeds that might improve their prospects in the hereafter.
فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ
But they denounced him as a liar. So a mighty earthquake overtook them, and by the morning they lay overturned in their houses. But they denounced him as a liar.
They did not accept the prophet Shu'aib as God's messenger, or his teachings to be from God. As a consequence of their rejection of these truths, they were afflicted with God's scourge.
So a mighty earthquake overtook them, and by the morning they lay overturned in their houses.
That is, the whole territory they inhabited was destroyed.
And we destroyed Ad and Thamud, whose dwellings you have observed. Satan had embellished their deeds for them and had turned them away from the right path, although they were a people of clear perception. And we destroyed Ad and Thamud, whose dwellings you have observed.
The Arabs of the Prophet's time were familiar with the lands of Ad and Thamud. The former lived in southern Arabia, which is presently known as Ahqaf, Yemen, and Hadramaut. The ruins of Thamud are found to this day in northern Hijaz, covering the region from Rabigh to Aqaba, from Madian to Khaybar to Tema and Tabuk. At the time the Quran was revealed, these ruins would have been even more prominent.
Satan had embellished their deeds for them and had turned them away from the right path, although they were a people of clear perception.
They were not ignorant fools. Rather, they were a shrewd people, well skilled in the management of worldly affairs. It cannot therefore be said that Satan had cast a spell on them, made them blind to facts, robbed them of their ability to think rationally, or that he forced them to follow his way. The fact is that they knowingly chose the way shown to them by Satan because it contained the promise of many benefits and much pleasure. They therefore deliberately rejected the way shown by the prophets, for they found it hard and unattractive in view of its many stringent moral interdictions.
وقارون وفرعون وهامان ولقد جاءهم موسى بالبينات فاستكبروا في الأرض وما كانوا سابقين.
And we destroyed Qarun, Korah, and Pharaoh, and Haman. Moses, peace be upon him, came to them with clear signs, but they waxed arrogant in the land, although they could not have outstripped us. And we destroyed Qarun, Korah, and Pharaoh, and Haman. Moses, peace be upon him, came to them with clear signs, but they waxed arrogant in the land, although they could not have outstripped us.
That is, they could neither escape God's grip nor frustrate his plans.
فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ حَاصِبًا وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتْهُ الصَّيْحَةُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَغْرَقْنَا وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ
So, we seized each for their sin. We let loose upon some a violent tornado with showers of stones. Some were overtaken by a mighty cry. Some were caused to be swallowed up by the earth. And some we drowned. Allah would not wrong them, but it is they who wrong themselves. So, we seized each for their sin. We let loose upon some a violent tornado with showers of stones.
This refers to the Ad, who were continuously subjected to a storm for 7 nights and 8 days. See also Al-Haqqah 69:7.
Some were overtaken by a mighty cry.
This refers to the Thamud.
Some were caused to be swallowed up by the earth.
This refers to Korah.
And some we drowned.
This refers to Pharaoh and Haman.
Allah would not wrong them, but it is they who wrong themselves.
The stories recounted here are addressed both to the Muslims and to the Meccan unbelievers. They were narrated so that the Muslims would not give in to despair and demoralization, and so that they would remain patient and resolute in upholding the truth, even in the face of very severe hardships. These stories should also instill in them full trust in God and make them assured that His aid will ultimately come. And that he will see to it that their oppressors are humbled and God's word is exalted. On the other hand, these stories were also narrated to impart an important lesson to the Meccan wrongdoers who were bent upon obliterating Islam. They were thereby warned not to mistake God's forbearance. Since they had not been seized for a long time for their wrongdoing and rebellion, they had fallen prey to the delusion that they would never be brought to justice. Rather, they believed that they were free to act as they wanted, believing that this world was not subject to moral laws. Such mistaken notions would eventually bring upon them the same scourge which smote the unbelieving nations of the prophets Noah, Lot, and Shu'aib, peace be upon them, for the Ad and Thamud. Korah and Pharaoh also met the same horrendous fate.
مثل الذين اتخذوا من دون الله أولياء كمثل العنكبوت اتخذت بيتا وإن أوهن البيوت لبيت العنكبوت لو كانوا يعلمون
The case of those who took others than Allah as their protectors is that of a spider who builds a house. But the frailest of all houses is the spider's house, if they only knew. But the frailest of all houses is the spider's house, if they only knew.
All these nations had been guilty of indulging in polytheism. They looked upon their idols as guardians and patrons who could make or mar their destiny. They presented offerings to them and worshipped them so as to procure their protection. They believed that by doing so, their idols would help, support, and protect them against every calamity. However, it is unmistakably evident from history, as related in the Quran, that such false beliefs and superstitions proved of no avail to them when God ordained their annihilation. No god or goddess, no avatar, saint or spirit, no jinn or angel whom they used to worship came to their rescue. When they came face to face with this reality, they felt remorseful about having cherished false notions, but nonetheless they met their doom and were obliterated. By relating these stories, the Quran issues a dire warning to the Meccan polytheists, their expectations about receiving help and support from imaginary lords, idols, that are themselves helpless, will prove as frail as a spider's web. In the same way that a spider's web cannot withstand the mere touch of a finger, their polytheistic notions will be demolished as soon as the divine scourge smites them. The fact is that ignorance alone accounts for their false beliefs and superstitions. Had they reflected on reality, their worldview would not have been erected on baseless foundations. The truth is that God, the one true Lord of the universe, alone has all power and authority. It is He, as the Quran says, in whom man can place his reliance. He who rejects the evil ones and believes in Allah has indeed taken hold of the firm, unbreakable handle, and Allah, whom he has held for support, is all-hearing, all-knowing. Al-Baqarah 2:256.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
Surely, Allah knows fully what they call upon apart from Him. He is the most powerful, the most wise. Surely, Allah knows fully what they call upon apart from Him. He is the most powerful, the most wise.
God, of course, fully knows the truth about those whom the polytheists have chosen to be their deities and whom they call upon for help. Notwithstanding their misplaced devotion, these deities are absolutely powerless, for all power lies with God alone. It is He alone who governs the universe by dint of His power and wisdom. This verse can also be translated as follows. Surely, Allah knows fully that what they call upon apart from Him is nothing in reality, and He alone is the most powerful and most wise.
وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ.
These are the parables that we set forth to make people understand, but only those endowed with knowledge will comprehend them.
خلق الله السماوات والأرض بالحق إن في ذلك لآية للمؤمنين.
Allah has created the heavens and the earth in truth. Certainly, there is a sign in this for those who believe. Allah has created the heavens and the earth in truth.
The order of the universe is based on truth rather than falsehood. Whoever ponders the workings of the universe with an open mind realizes that the heavens and the earth have nothing to do with imaginary musings and conjectures. They are rooted instead in the bedrock of truth and reality. It is simply impossible for a person to weave a philosophy out of his conjecture and imagination that adequately fits the scheme of the universe, a scheme wherein only that which is anchored in truth and reality works and strikes root. Any system of ideas and presuppositions incongruent with reality will of necessity collide with it and be shattered into pieces. The order of the universe testifies to the fact that none other than the one true God is its creator, Lord, and regulator. Suppose someone were to disregard this vital fact and proceed on the assumption that the universe is without God, or that there is a multiplicity of gods that provide security to their devotees in return for the offerings they make. Such baseless notions would not alter the truth at all. On the contrary, at one time or another, the victim of such false notions will face a rude shock.
Certainly, there is a sign in this for those who believe.
The creation of the heavens and the earth provides testimony verifying the truth of monotheism and the falsity of polytheism and atheism. This testimony, however, can only be perceived by those who believe in the Prophet's teachings. As for those who reject the prophets, they are unable to see the manifest truth that is evident to everyone.